There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. She's not wearing flowers. Those are just flowers on her head. That is not clothes. Those are just branches wrapped around a person. That's not clothes. Yeah, that's we'll talk about this when we get to Hero of the Week. That is just grass on his head. That's not an outfit.
It is.
It's not an outfit.
Technically, it is.
No, an outfit takes something that doesn't look like you got trapped in an avalanche. They're trapped in an avalanche.
Buddy?
Is this for a good cause or something? We have to start the show.
We do have to start the show. No, this is this is just for fun. This is
What is this? I thought this was for charity. We're going to talk about this for Hero of the Week, but
this guy's covered in fish.
That is just he literally just has fish stapled to him. That's not an outfit. That's not fashion. I guess it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy.
Either way, well, we'll get to that story.
He looks like he got attacked by a bunch of birds.
I don't know.
That other woman just got a bird nest on her head. That's not. What is that for?
It makes her a hero.
She's covered in dirt.
You're really spoiling Hero of the Week this week.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Hope everyone is doing well out there. What are we going to start with today? We have an update on the Wisconsin girl, the Slender Man stabbing.
We do. Welcome to Side Stories again. We did it. They let the woman that didn't
the young
kill.
Girl
the young girl.
Neither of them killed. Of course, this was a Slender Man stabbing that took place in Wisconsin. One of the gals, she is now 19 years old. She has been released.
Anissa Wire.
She has been released from a psychiatric ward in Wisconsin. And now she's on the loose. But you know what? I think 7 years or whatever she was in there for.
3.5 years.
No.
Yes. What? She served 3.5 years. That's when it finally all came down. That's when it finally all came down to it. She served a total of 3.5 years. But Anissa Wire, of the two, it was Anissa Wire and Morgan Geiser.
Right.
Anissa Wire, she was the one that was sort of the sub to Morgan Geiser's dominant personality.
Oh my goodness.
That is what, when they went in, the Morgan Geiser was the one who planned the whole thing.
She was the one talking to Slender Man, to be fair.
Yes, she was the mouthpiece.
She was?
She was the connect to Slender Man. Anissa got pulled in. I completely agree with her getting released, but I have a sneaking suspicion that if Morgan Geiser gets released, she will kill again.
Oh my
Or attempt to
goodness.
Kill again.
Well,
that's what I think.
That's because before we recorded, you referred to her as Michael Myers, and I don't think that she is as violent or malicious
she
as
didn't get
Michael
far
Myers.
Enough. She didn't get far enough. We don't
she
know.
Did.
Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I'd like to think that I'm wrong, and maybe she'll be the Greta Thunberg of true crime. But if she can fix things, that's great. If she comes out and she's normal, that's great. But I am worried about that girl.
Well, as long as she gets enough sleep, that's my only concern with
a lot of
these young superstars. Anissa Weir, as Henry said, now 19 years old. Ooh, do you feel old yet? You feel old yet? She was originally sentenced to 25 years at the Winnebago Mental Health Institute.
Oh, wow.
Which I can't imagine in the Winnebago Mental... Welcome to the Winnebago Mental Health Institute. Here's your spotted cow, and here's your Bloody Mary with a beer backer.
That'll be from when we go... That's called Wisco Rehab. Where you could just be like, you can have a couple of beers. Come on, you're trying to relax. Come on, we're trying not to get drunk here. We're drinking beers.
Absolutely. So the Waukesha County Judge Michael Boren, he gave state officials 60 days to draw up a release plan for her. So she's going to be out September 10th. So who knows?
In May, the day before our favorite day.
Oh my goodness gracious! 9/11, sad day for America. The stabbing took place in 2014. Peyton Lutner was the victim there. I wonder what she's up to.
The mother is still mad.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the mother is still mad. She thinks that they should be in jail for forever. But, you know, I do believe that people can change.
Yes.
I believe that they can be rehabilitated. But the style of murder, I think that Morgan
attempted.
Geiser, in my mind, you're right. It was an attempted murder. Morgan Geiser also, in my mind, I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this. I still think that she was aping the schizophrenic symptoms that her mother exhibited. I think that she was purposefully copying them. I think Morgan Geiser is, you know, I'd like to be proven wrong.
I hope that you are, because that was one of the issues that I took with the judgment The act, it was so insane, and I think it proved that they were children.
They
when
are
they committed,
children. They were.
They because, were of course, and they really are. Believed in Slender Man because they were probably aroused by that Jack Skellington-looking cryptid. I mean, honestly, he's a girl. He's a 12-year-old girl's dream come true. Thin, tall.
I mean, it's a fake cartoon skeleton.
Yeah. How could I compete with that?
I don't know.
Eighth grade Ben Kissel?
I guess
all
the same
fat,
time.
And then you look at Slender Man, and then like that's when all the girls love Johnny Depp. They like him fat now.
They like him fat once you get past 30.
Yes, because then they're adults too. Because
you look stable.
The bane of my existence.
Well,
hey, talking about how they love Slender Man. He's
Roger
not
Rabbit
kind of
gave,
fat, man.
Roger Rabbit gave me hope. That's what happened when I watched him, and then he was with Lisa Rabbit. And then I jerked off a bunch of Lisa Rabbit, and then for a while, and I don't know why I kept doing it, of course.
Really? I don't think I ever.
That was the one. It was that and what's her name from Cool World.
Yes, of course. I don't know her name, but, you know, I never did the cartoon. Okay, interesting.
I don't know. Sorry. I guess I just dropped that very lightly, but I feel like a lot of people experience this.
I think it comes up. Definitely. All right.
But
let's
I can
move
understand.
On.
Oh, also.
Either way, Wisconsin. So, Wisconsin, lock your doors. That's what we're going to say. Lock your doors. It's going to be scary out there.
Big announcement. Weed is in L.A. The last podcast,
yes.
Weed is in L.A. Our vape carts are at a place called Embers in Van Nuys. You can go and hassle them and say, hey, where's my last podcast weed vape?
Where is it? I was there yesterday, or on Saturday, rather, this past weekend, and it was so cool to see the little vapes up there. And I was like, are people coming in to buy them? And then the lady was like, yes. And then the manager came out, and he was like, I'm a huge fan. So they were super sweet. So go to Embers, get our vape. I really think you're going to like it. The reviews are good. But like, if we were selling people soda, it would be very bad because the vape, they're like, couldn't get off the couch for 3 hours. But in the vape world,
that's what you want.
That's a compliment.
I want prisoners.
Exactly.
Oh my God,
that's actually great. We're making our own little zombies, so then they'd have to listen to our show.
But guess what?
And they're so stoned, they can't turn it off.
We're not trying to make prisoners in jail, because it's the opposite, because we work with the Last Prisoner Project. We're
Absolutely.
Trying to make no prisoners, but we want you to be a prisoner in your home.
In your brain. All right.
This is fun. I like walking in and out of these horrible situations.
Mm-hmm.
There's an update that we have to talk about.
Oh.
There's an update.
Okay.
Venomous snake alert. It's roaming North Carolina suburbs.
What do you mean roaming? Is it smoking cigarettes hanging out at the 7-Eleven?
Someone needs to marry this snake and get it chained up. Someone needs to put a ball and chain on the snake.
Oh.
Experts say one bite or spit may be fatal. This is in Raleigh.
God. Why the hell is this snake in Raleigh? What's going on? How did it get there? Did it board a flight? Did it get a COVID test where he said it tested negative?
This came from actually a listener letter. This is where the story was first broken to us, but now apparently it is really spreading. This comes from the letter sent by a listener. So my area went absolutely nuts for a couple of days over a zebra cobra, which is a deadly variety of spitting cobra. So it's going around Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, turns you don't want to meet the swallowing cobra.
Yeah, marry that one. turns out there's an absolute moron nearby who owns a ludicrous number of venomous reptiles, which seems to always be the source of every loose reptile. It's some guy that can lose one.
It is just, we talk about, and I'm going to say wrongly, unfairly, cat women. Because if you're a snake man, you're truly lonely.
But I like
it's
a snake
another
woman.
Another kind of, a snake woman doesn't tend to have a bunch of venomous snakes. They have a bunch of like pythons.
Like cool ones.
Yeah.
And they always, like, take cool pictures with like wrapped around their arms and stuff. It's
like
more
Britney,
guys.
By the way, of course, Free Britney.
Always.
You know, we've had that stance for well over a decade. I've been talking about that.
We are driving to Vegas to Free Britney this weekend.
Jesus. Britney, we're here for you. Britney.
Wake up. Wait, are you the woman from Toxic? Are you the toxic woman? But snake dudes, it's a lot of times it's when they bring a big, fat, juicy snake and then they put it on everybody at the bar and you're like, this is not good.
I don't like it. They're liars. Snakes are liars because they're not wet and they look wet and I've never trusted one since.
But this listener wants to point out that this person that lost a snake is not respected at all in the reptile community. In fact, he's frequently viewed as reckless, irresponsible, and inexperienced. And it's not even his first incident. He was bit by his own green mamba within the last year, and that's also an incredibly deadly snake.
Well, the sad thing is, and you know, I like that the listener recognizes this. He's just going to get this freaking snake killed.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to like try to coach it out with bunch of candy and cheese.
They're going to cut its head off with a shovel.
Yeah. So he just basically got this
Rare animal.
Rare animal
does
murder.
Does not belong here. It's obviously not indigenous to the state. It's not indigenous to the country. Zebra cobras originate from Africa, according to the African Snake Bite Institute. The snake is usually shy.
There's a whole institute for that?
I mean, honestly, it's a bunch of... just be like, yeah, step on me, snake.
Oh.
The snake is usually shy, and it will choose to escape. Although, if it is cornered, it will quickly bite or spit, much like... John Rambo.
Wow.
Its venom can cause tissue damage or even death, according to this institute. But it's nocturnal. It has black vertical stripes. So if you're in Raleigh, look out for the snake. And if you're someone that's not maybe quick to kill the snake, which you probably should be, because if you corner it and try to get it, it's going to bite. It's going to snip at you. Put it in some kind of tank.
Get
and take it to the embassy.
Take it to the snake embassy. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. According to Mark Pavlik, he lives in the neighborhood. He says it's pretty alarming.
It's pretty alarming.
Yeah, he goes on to say, it seems like a pretty dangerous snake, and dogs like to sniff in the grass and check things out. It's an extreme worry.
Yeah, so that's what dogs do.
I know. Well, be very careful out there if you're in Raleigh, because, again, that snake is on the loose, and it's got nothing to lose.
It's got nothing to lose, and it's new in town.
Yep, so check, again, not just Wisconsin. Raleigh, lock up your doors, lock up your wives. This snake is out there. And again, they're much more muscly than you think about. Oh, we don't really hear too much about coitus with the snake via the lady.
Actually, email side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Have you had a snake lick your pussy? Have you had a snake lick your asshole? Have you been a person that has had sex with someone while the snake is in the bed? I'd actually like to know, because we now know that that's sort of an urban myth, the idea that the boa constrictor lies next to you, like people who sleep with the snake in their bed, and that's a sign that the boa constrictor is planning on eating you.
Right.
Apparently that's an urban myth.
Is that a myth?
I don't know.
Okay.
Apparently it is, though. But this snake is around there. So try to get it back home. Let's get this snake. I don't normally say
this. A different home, maybe, because it doesn't sound like he has a good home there.
I think he needs to go back to its home country where it lives with his other snake friends.
Wow.
I don't mean to be isolationist.
A little aggressive.
I don't mean to be
a little
like
aggressive.
I just want him to be back home. This is the Zionist movement, but for snakes.
I think it can find a loving family someplace in North Carolina.
Just really cuddle up on it.
Speaking of snake news, just briefly here, in Austria, a dude went to take a piss at 6 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe it was a dump, as a matter of fact. Or maybe it was a sit-down piss. He's an old man. He's 65 years old. At that point, he felt a nip in the genital area.
Ooh.
And it turns out it was a boa constrictor his neighbor had let loose. His neighbor is 24, which I feel bad for the 65-year-old. The goal is to only hang out with people within your 20-year periphery. So if you're 65 and you have to hang out with a 24-year-old, either that 24-year-old is real successful or you failed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't immediate to figure out how the hell, like, police were like called and they were like, "What? Where did it grab you, sir?" And then they couldn't figure out what happened. But then the snake just went through the pipes. And
it was in his own toilet.
It was in his own toilet.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely sitting. Because I remember we had a problem in our basement toilet growing up in Queens where rats used to come up in it. And that's how my dad found out that he was downstairs in the bathroom shitter taking a dump.
Of course.
And he felt like a bump, like a nose bump on the fucking on his balls.
He got a rat.
It went like it was in there. And then they had from then on perennially, we had to keep a paint can on the basement toilet because the rats would come up through there.
That's the most country story you've ever said.
You know how country Queens gets.
I know. Police said the neighbor, he's a younger dude, again, 24, in this apartment complex, he's got 11 non-venomous constrictor snakes and a gecko.
That's a lot of snakes in an apartment.
It just must, like, welcome to my place. And, like, I gotta go. Can you imagine the odor?
I feel like...
Because snakes do, they're stinky.
They are stinky. Reptiles are stinky. But I think it brings, and then we'll immediately people say, my reptile ain't stinky. Was because you wash your reptile. I don't know how you wash it. I don't know what you do with it.
I know
that some people, I have smelt the reptile smell before. It was in college. You go into a snake person's house and you just kind of reckless snakes everywhere.
It's also hot because you got all the heat lamps.
The heat lamps. Well, you know what it does? It really creates a specific tunnel for anybody that's going to love you.
Yeah.
It creates a specific filter because they would have to come in. They have to like hot snake smell.
Sure.
They're going to have to like.
And don't forget the gecko.
And the gecko's there. He's the pervert.
I don't know what that gecko does other than live in total fucking hell.
Straight up, yeah. It's like Ghislaine in prison right now.
Yeah.
Just like sitting there and be like, well, it takes for one of these motherfuckers to break out and I'm dead.
Yeah, the guy better keep him fed. but apparently they are nibbling on the neighbor's balls.
Hey, that's which probably is not the good. Most action his fucking the bottom of his balls have gotten in a while.
65 years old, taking a shit at 6 a.m. and all of a sudden a snake nips on your balls.
You survive three world wars.
Something like that.
Just to take a shit and get bitten on the dick by a snake.
Wow.
That's all how right. it goes.
Know who your neighbors are, or don't. I don't know.
Some people don't want an animal to bite their dick and balls, right? And they actually are really upset when it happens.
Why
but
the
then,
most,
of course, here on Side Stories, one thing that we just absolutely we just love to cover, and you guys also I guess you guys love to hear it from us because we get this sent, and it's just another story where again some people they absolutely love when an animal sucks or bites their penis or they do something with their penis to it. This is a story about a Durango man.
Oh, Durango.
This comes from Durango News. Where is Durango? Is that New Mexico?
I actually have no idea whatsoever.
I know, but this guy's making New Mexico sound more like old Mexico. Durango Whoa. Man faces cruelty charge for alleged sexual acts with a horse. Suspect being held on $5,000 bail at La Plata County Jail.
La Plata.
I know.
The guy kind of looks like...
I've eaten at a Durango's.
Oh, well, Durango sounds fantastic. Kind of looks like if Jared Leto let himself even... Like, if Jared Leto... wasn't at all successful.
This is him in character.
Yeah.
The Durango Police Department arrested Jonah Barrett Lesko, 26 years young.
Oh.
He was on Monday for an alleged sexual act with a horse. They responded to a fairgrounds at about 10 p.m.
Oh my
June 17th. Oh, my God. A night call, too. After receiving a report of a man having sexual intercourse with a horse.
Jesus.
Which just obviously is a neighbor. Because how many times you got to deal with it? You're just driving around and you just see some guy in deep in a field. I was like, is that some kind of fucking centaur? And then you see that it's just one guy going, whoa, 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 whoa. Fucking a horse in a field.
Oh, my God. This dude is so crazy.
While Lesko was in custody, police detectives recovered text messages where Lesko admitted his sexual interaction with the horse. And during subsequent interviews, Lesko admitted to the acts. Now, do you think it's one of those texts where someone goes like, you up? And he says, busy. And then it's eggplant horse emoji. Like, what do you do? How do you just say,
yeah, buddy, my friend?
Too bad I'm fucking this horse. I'd love to come see Fast and Furious 9, but I just got a nut.
Yeah.
In this animal verse.
Oh my goodness. I thought you were saying the horse would like to see Fast and Furious 9, which I think is kind of cool because if you think about the horse, they were the first car.
I think they would be jealous and see how quickly they were absolutely, totally decimated and replaced by the stallion vehicle.
We still describe how fast a car goes by horsepower.
I find that to be antiquated and dumb. I think it should be tire volume.
Okay. Well, police found...
I'm sorry. I came hard for it.
You are coming hard all over the place today. Wow. Get a mop and bucket. Police found numerous burglary tools, including a grinder and some bolt cutters. And evidently, when Lesko saw the lights, he freaked out so much, he left his Osprey backpack and his bike.
Oh, I have an Osprey backpack.
Really?
Oh, what a good plug for Osprey.
Osprey backpacks. Do you want to fuck a horse?
This will carry all your gear while you're... balls deep in a mare.
That's awesome. I guess he didn't do a very good job of hiding because at least four people contacted the police.
Wow.
Which means the cops in Durango, their message board was lighting up.
Do you think it's just because he might have just been making noise? Like you're just in a field and he's laying into
the horse was
going,
probably making noise.
I don't know. I think a lot of times horse stands silent because they're used to carrying the secrets of men.
Oh,
and I think that
God.
When this man's going at this horse, you think it's just him going, oh, yay. Like, how do you build such a crowd?
Well, Jonah said the horse had given him indication. Oh, my God. This
is
okay.
Always this. So it's always this. They always say this.
They say the horse had given indications to him, based on its behavior, that it was interested in participating in sexual activity.
What do you think when Spread Eagle did the fingers going blah, 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 blah? Like, what do you think a horse does to indicate it wants to fuck?
Like the landlord from Kingpin?
Yes.
As he vomits in the toilet. But Jonah did not vomit in the toilet. Jonah apparently took the horse up. He said, Jonah said he had never engaged in sexual behavior with animals prior to this incident.
Why did he die? Well, how did he know then the signs that the horse was ready to fuck?
I think he probably fucked every animal he's ever had. He says it was because he had, he was on drugs.
Oh, and a breakup.
And then he had some personal issues. Relationship issues.
Yeah, it was a breakup.
This is going to get her back. Hey, honey, I'm in jail. What for, babe?
Fuck yeah. All right. You want to see my new girlfriend? It's this 2,000-pound horse. It'll make you feel better as an ex, though.
It will, because you're not a horse. So no matter what you did, he was not going to love you.
No.
Because you are a human being.
You're a human being.
But the nice thing with horses, if you put peanut butter in the mouth, that's how you make them look like they're talking. That's what they did with Mr. Ed.
I think that also when it, I think they also discovered that peanut butter is bad for horses.
Did they?
Everything that they used to do prior to 1985 to animals and shit, it's all criminal. Like, you just found out that they all were being poisoned for years.
That's sad.
Like Lassie, I'm pretty certain they like...
Oh, there was probably 30 Lassies.
Oh, yeah. Lassie would get hit by a car. They'd have a new Lassie on set. Like, you know, how many times...
Well, that's
these
what they
Lassies
do with child actors.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're expendable because you just find another little blonde one. A lot of times, that's why they hire twins, because a lot of times they start as triplets.
That is
not
actually true.
Just conspiracy theory.
No, that is 1,000% true, because they work them and work them and work them.
And then they turn into little Corey Feldmans.
Yeah, just so they can make their parents money.
Wow. Honestly, when you said that, makes sense.
I do like the idea, but also you should have children because you want to take care of them. Babies should be taking care of the parents.
That's a story. Yeah, well, you have kids because you fucking want to take care of them.
Back then, they used to make kids as a workforce.
You wait and see when all of our friends pop these babies out of them. Which ones are stars and which ones aren't?
They're gonna find that out by the time they're six, which is very sad how fast that works.
Live from your grave.
All right, here we go. This comes from Gizmodo. Here's another fun story. This is wild. We love to cover this.
We love to cover this
type of shit. You know how much we love it. We're in the middle of sort of like you could say a medical series on Last Podcast on the Left. We've been covering Black Death, talking a lot about science. Now, this is some hard hitting science news. A man's penis broke vertically during sex.
Oh, God. Okay, what the hell does that even mean? How is it even possible?
I don't know. A man in the UK appears to be a medical first.
Wow.
Though probably not in the way he would have wanted. This, again, comes from Gizmodo. His doctor says he's the first known person to have his penis broken vertically. Despite the odd injury, though, the man is fully recovered. Now, a broken penis... Penile fracture is more accurately described as a tear starting from the tunica albuginaria, the protective layer surrounding the erectile tissue that pump blood to the penis. Now, the reason why it feels like a broken bone is that most injuries happen during sex, and you broke your fucking penis. And that's why it feels like a fucking broken bone, because you did horrible damage to your penis.
Absolutely. So what happened here was, and this is a message for everybody
And it comes
out
with
there.
A popping noise, too. I remember our buddy talking about it, like, it pops, right?
I'm sure it does. So he was having sex with this gal, and they were really getting it on.
She was on top. Most times that when penises are broken, it's because someone's on top. Because you know when it slips out sometimes?
Yes.
And then you go, whoa. Calm. Take a breath.
So the dude, he's 40 years old. I'm about to be 40. This could happen to any of us at any time.
This could happen to any one of us.
And she's on top of him. And then this is a quote. He says, the penis, quote, buckled against his partner's perineum.
That's a taint stopper.
That is the taint. So he's, ooh, and then boom. You hit that perineum, aka the taint. You know, it's just there's two other holes that could happen there, and he crash landed, and then his penis broke vertically, which I still don't fully understand.
I'm not quite certain. I think when he means vertically, that normally when it pops, it's like this, right? Like it's towards you. Maybe it's towards you, or maybe it's to the side. Maybe it's more of to the broken to the side, and maybe this time it was broken up. He said he didn't show many of the symptoms of a classic penile fracture. Penile fracture. He hadn't heard a loud popping. He didn't develop a rolling sign, which is when the skin of the penis can be rolled over a large bruise that forms on it. Oh my God!
Ow!
His penis was only moderately swollen.
Oh.
And he actually didn't immediately lose his erection. Actually, that's I think the worst part of having a broken penis, because you get close sometimes where you do like one little bump, right, and you go like, oh,
whoa,
you pose, you're like, what the fuck? But you don't lose the erection, because that's called God's trap.
We don't know, and this is not an insult in any way, but we don't know the size of the gal. She may have been coming in real hard, maybe Yokozuna style, slamming on that dick.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds fantastic, but one slam, and next thing you know, boom, the head hits the taint, and that's all she wrote.
But these doctors are really trying to say, hey, listen, people are embarrassed often. They talk about they break these penises, right? People are embarrassed when they break their penises.
It's not the most embarrassing thing. It can happen to anyone.
I honestly think it's not remotely embarrassing. You are having sex. You are living a full, wonderful life. Sometimes injuries happen. You know what I mean? I injure myself the more I work out.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm in the mix.
You're in the mix.
You're changing shit. It's not like if the guy... fucking a horse broke his penis, he should be embarrassed. Because then you have to figure out, like, why are you covered in hay if you're not one of the heroes of the week we're about to cover?
Oh, anyway, unfortunately, the doctors didn't take any pictures, which I'm actually, you know, if I'm the guy, I would just be like, are you going to post that? Can you tag me in that? I think that's actually kind of nice. Although they could have taken some pictures just for learning. Because again, I don't fully know what it means to break your penis vertically.
I'm not quite certain. And I said that one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest symptoms and risk factors for broken penis is having sex doggy style. And I tell you what, if doggy style is wrong, I don't want to be right.
All right.
That's nice. Isn't that fun?
That is very fun. So be extremely careful there when it comes to having sex. Make sure you know where you're landing that donger.
Just be present. Sit, think about for your second, you know, be there, be with your partner. That's what it is. I think we're rushing. That's what it is.
Could be.
It's because we're obsessed with getting to the A from A to B, from A to C, right? We miss B if we just go straight to A to C.
Well, let's do this next story. This is about A to D. Asshole to dip. His name is Robert Goldwitzer. He's 42 years old. He got some chicken nuggets at McDonald's and they didn't have his dipping sauce. So the man, just completely rational, he decided to call the McDonald's and make a bomb threat. Not realizing anything about human history or where we've come as a country over the past 20 years after 9/11, how the laws have, you know, really not loosened up.
They've
when it comes
solidified.
They've maybe solidified it. So he made a threatening call to the restaurant.
That's not good.
And he called from just his phone, and I guess he doesn't understand that, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of ways.
My name's Riggard Miltrelson, and I just wanted to say that there's a fucking bomb in your back, you fucking bitch. Fucking Rick and Morty rules.
Baba Booey.
This is the problem, is that the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce, like, flip out that happened a couple of years ago. I barely even looked into it because I thought it was so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But when people all got mad about that there was no Szechuan sauce, I think it's something to do with Rick and Morty. I'm not quite certain with the base of it, but people started freaking out and started getting into fights.
Dude, McDonald's have Szechuan sauce?
It was this limited edition sauce.
It's all shit.
It's all garbage. But people went and they flipped out. They wanted the sauce, and then people were punching cashiers in the face. They were fucking attacking managers. They were flipping tables and shit. It's sauce. Make your own sauce.
Buy
sauce from the store. This is a fucking pro tip. From a sauce dude, from a sauce man, a condiment lord, go and make sure that if you want a specific condiment, this is a tip. You buy it at the store and you keep it in your house.
You're never going to get the right amount of ketchup or barbecue sauce. You have to have your own stuff.
You keep it in the house and then you can slather it with whatever you want. And then also you don't have to have all the judgment from everyone if you eat something particularly strange. Like a little bit, like I like to do maybe a little bit of a mix of barbecue and mayonnaise every once in a while.
That's fine. My dad did the mayonnaise. He's German.
I like mayonnaise. I think mayonnaise is also much aligned in this country.
Sure.
Misaligned.
I'm with you. So the cops questioned Goldwitzer. And he admitted he called the victims and made threats. And then he was arrested.
Yeah, it was me. I am, in fact, Richard Michelator. Yeah. I was the guy. Yeah, you got me.
So,
tell me you got that sauce, though.
What a nightmare for this guy, because his day would have just been so much better if he could have just let it go.
Well,
Who really gives a shit?
I'm going to go on a limb here and say it wasn't about the sauce.
It's like that Everybody Loves Raymond episode. It's not about the suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the power structure. Okay. All right.
Update. Lori Vallow was also finally indicted for the murder of her ex-husband, Charles Vallow, as well. That's come down.
Okay.
That's come down the pipe, which is good news. I still wonder, because they're still saying Lori Vallow might not be fit for trial. So we'll find out.
What do you mean?
Because they're saying she's too crazy.
I just really...
She is a cunning, devious person.
Yeah.
So she also... While she might be a true believer, Natalie and I are both torn about whether or not Lori Vallow is a true believer or not. I believe that every cult leader always has a little back door in the very back of their head where they do believe up to a point, but at any point they're willing to bail. If they could, they would just bail on everybody and they would just, because his number one is the only thing that matters, right?
Yeah.
But I think that Lori Vallow also saw that there was a good tactic in sticking to her I'm a Godhead story, because the more and more she sticks to it, the more and more crazy she seems. Even if you're faking it, the faking it of sticking to it could also make you seem to be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely playing some kind of game.
Oh yeah, she has been playing people for a long time. She is a very good people manipulator. I think she's manipulating the courts right now.
Of course she is. And speaking of cults, just another small update. We mentioned how Allison Mack was sentenced to 3 years, but now we're starting to hear a little bit of the victim impact statements. This is a victim named Jessica Joan. Jessica Joan, she's young. Not that it matters, but she's quite pretty. She talks about how she was abused by Allison Mack. She calls her a sociopath.
Yeah, man. And she is a sociopath. She's a fucking villain.
And Joan actually said this is kind of a perfect sentence for, like, this is like if you are like writing a roast joke as a victim impact statement, this is like actually got joke structure to it. She's like, she is the Ghislaine Maxwell to Keith's Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
So she hit that out of the park.
She is, though, but that's absolutely, I think that's right on the money. I think Allison Mack is another dangerous person.
I think so as well. Joan said, when it comes to Allison Mack, her eyes looked dead. It was very much after she looked into her eyes. She says,
personally branded somewhere around 50 people.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Allison Mack is a dangerous person, and she's going to get out in a year and a half because she's going to be, you know, she's going to do like, we're whittling things for the troops from jail. Like, she's going to do something where she teaches acting classes, like, within prison and stuff, and they're all going to call her some inspirational figure of rehabilitation. She's going to come back out. She's going to get another acting job, and then she's going to fuck it up again. Something else is going to happen. I'm calling it.
She's definitely going to get a podcast. So Jones says,
isn't that the biggest crime of all?
Kind of. Joan says it was very much that feeling when it comes to looking at Max. She says it was very much that feeling of a sociopath where she wasn't actually able to receive what I was saying. She also said that Mac is a monster who created so much harm. And she goes on to say, I respect the judge's decision. I know he had a lot to grapple with, but me personally, I don't feel the remorse from her. I do pray that one day she can see the light, but I don't think that was today. So,
she's only sorry that she's going to prison.
But talking about manipulation, and I think that you're correct, it's culturally, you just look at this little blonde woman and just a judge, similar to what the judge did with
Casey
with
Anthony.
Ted Bundy, though. I was staying with Ted Bundy, where it's like, it would have been an honor to work with you, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
fucked up shit.
As a culture, we just look at this girl and the judge, it's probably like, oh, you kind of look like my niece. Like,
yeah, because she's a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
She's an actress. Like, she's going in there. She does it. She's got those big eyes, like a bright smile. You just watch it, her, like, big eyes just, like, over you as she's branding your pussy.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, nonetheless, the Nexium saga
continues
and ends all at the same time. I still have nothing but disdain for every single person that was in the leadership, including those assholes that made that documentary that tried to absolve themselves of what they did.
I can't wait for, I guess, season two of the HBO
There's
Max.
There's another one?
Yeah, dude. They're
what
making
the fuck are they
going to
talk about this one?
I don't know, about their new projects. It's just going to be about him being a DJ. God. And she's going to have a podcast.
Live from your grave.
The last story here that I think was kind of interesting, you hear this story about this dude, there's a Texas manhunt, but it's not for like a bank robbery. Oh man, that movie Hell or High Water is so good. It's because these three dudes stole a live shark from an aquarium.
Whoa!
Which I think is actually
that's the most dangerous heist of all. When the booty can get you.
They did it. I'm gonna say this. I'm straight up gonna say it's an adorable way. This story is a little bit old, but we're going to go in the way, way back machine to 2018, just because I hadn't heard this one before. So they were able to get the baby shark out by pretending it was a baby. They wrapped it in a blanket and wheeled it away.
Is this a 1980s comedy?
I don't know. But it was returned 2 days later. Anyway, this is just sort of
it was returned.
It was returned, but
I like the idea of pretending something's a baby. That's always a very good tactic.
It really is, because that's what they did in E.T.
Mm-hmm. That's what they did in E.T., and that's also what they do with drugs.
Isn't that
That's what
horrible.
They do. That's the reason why they check the strollers really careful when you go through the airport, because how many times you put a little, you know, you get a little sack of cocaine, you put a pacifier on there, you put a little bonnet on there, all of a sudden, you know, you get yourself a little Colombian baby.
Yes, indeed. Eamon Cavino, he's the owner of the San Antonio Aquarium. He said, we're beyond excited that the police found the shark and we have allowed us to pick her up. And then he goes on to say, and I don't really know what this means. He says, I don't know why someone would take a shark from the aquarium. I think Shark Week might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Shark Week got them all horny for sharks.
This sounds like this is somebody from the ID channel or something trying to throw Discovery under the bus.
Oh, maybe.
This is about corporations fighting each other.
Anyway, so be careful. If you got a shark, lock it up. That is the theme of today, is lock your sharks up. Lock your doors up. If you're in, I believe it was North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Texas 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You should have locked your doors then. All right. Well, I think we can do Hero of the Week.
Yeah, sure.
So this hero.
Okay, what is this shit?
It's not. I don't even know if they're heroes. But the article, and I want everyone to look at this. It's from the Good News Network. So is this the one that got $20 million?
No, it's not. This has got seniors with fucking nests on their head. It's not John Krasinski just selling the concept of good news and then abandoning.
Well, you're not reading the headline, are you? Playful seniors wear organic materials to personify nature. And how beautiful is this? So the first image is of a woman, maybe 90, maybe 145, and she's wearing a little nest on her head.
It looks like Jesus's crown of thorns if it was done by a moron.
Oh, isn't that nice? It looks like the beavers were having some fun, and they made her a nice little cap that she could wear.
She just put sticks on her head.
Now this other image of
this
woman.
What is this for? Like, what is the purpose of this?
It's so that they can live another day and have a little fun.
Is this just about
this woman's covered in mud?
She's just in a pile of mud.
Yeah,
that looks like no reason. She looks like she got caught in an avalanche.
Yeah, it was Rita Iconin and Carolyn Jorth. Believe it or not, it's a collaborative event. Here
it took multiple. Yeah, of course, because she's not piling that mud on herself.
I'm just going to tell you. They're Finnish and Norwegian.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so she was looking for a way to reinterpret the tales of trolls and magic creatures. So you might like that. And she's intrigued. So that's why, for example, this woman. She kind of put a bunch of dandelions, or what? Now, those seem to be maybe cotton.
Just on her fucking head.
Yes. So there's a lot of cotton. And then this man is a part of a tree.
He's got branches on him.
I don't really
know what it's supposed to symbolize.
It's supposed to symbolize trolls, apparently. And then this woman.
That's just got seaweed on her.
She's got seaweed on her.
It's just stuff that's just on her shoulders.
And the featured models are imbued with eye-popping organic connections to nature. And the result? Each stunning portrait reflects a personal narrative acknowledged and venerated rather than a life story dismissed and forgotten. So these people are being remembered forever. And take a look at this guy. Kind of looks like a beaver.
Yeah, he's got dirt on his head.
Porcupine.
Those are reeds. He's just got a bunch of dirt on his head. It looks like he got found in a ravine.
Looks like a porcupine. So anyway, this has been going on since 2011.
This has been going on for 10 years?
Yeah, they've gone to Norway, they've gone to Finland, they've gone to Sweden, Greenland, Iceland, the Czech Republic, France, and the United States, Great Britain, the Faroe Islands, South Korea, Japan, Senegal, and Tasmania. So
they show up and they put stuff on their head.
They probably come for money because this is what these photographers... And then this guy here, he is, as we mentioned at the top of the show, he's covered in fish, and he kind of looks like if the Little Mermaid... had a brother that must reek.
He's covered in dead fish.
Yeah, he's covered in dead fish.
But so how does that celebrate nature? You kill all these fish.
That guy, I think they just covered in dead fish.
That guy is just covered in dead fish.
Yeah,
he's not smiling.
He kind of literally got a raw deal. And I actually don't, because...
The rest of us just had like branches, because he's like, why do I got to be the dead fish guy?
Because
we got a mud woman. We got this guy. We already got three people with reeds on him.
Well, this guy's part of a hill.
He looks like he died.
He might be dead. He might be dead.
That is a man covered in moss.
They were interviewed in CNN style, only the best. And they say, we might be in Paris, and you might be at an opera soirée evening, and there might be an old lady dancing, the last person on the dance floor, and you just think, who is this fascinating person I have to meet? You approach them and ask, who are you, and what are you doing tomorrow?
What is CNN's deal? What are you remotely talking about?
He's wearing a full dress of grass.
Even a young man. He is just covered in river mud.
Yeah.
He's just covered in detritus.
Seems extremely unsanitary.
Anyway,
they're heroes in a way. They are so heroes in a way.
You see an old woman just dancing alone.
What are you doing tomorrow? Who are you and what are you doing tomorrow? I ask every time I see an old lady dancing alone, I go up to her and, who are you? What are you doing tomorrow?
Who are you? What are you doing tomorrow?
Oh, God.
So frightening.
Nope. All right. It takes all kinds.
And then what do you do? You go and you gather up a bunch of leaves and shit, being like, this is what you're doing tomorrow. You just became a waste barrel filled with the stuff from the lawn clippings.
Everyone wants to be mulch. They're
everybody wants
everybody
to be mulch.
Everybody wants to be mulch.
Unfortunately, we all just eventually become mulch, don't we?
Yes, indeed. All right. So hero of the week is humans connecting with nature. It's the concept of humans connecting with nature is the hero of the week.
Those are words put together in a sentence.
Absolutely.
Here we have some listener emails. In an episode of Side Stories last year, you talked about a guy who cooked a chicken in a hot spring. About 2 years ago, About 2 years ago, I went to the Arizona hot springs. The water there isn't hot enough to burn you like the ones in your story. And so people treat it like it's a natural hot tub. On the hike, I saw a very concerning sign that I've attached to the email. It reads, warning, do not allow water to enter your nose. Negliaria fowleri, an amoeba common to thermal pools, may enter causing a rare infection and death.
Ooh.
Then in very faint Sharpie, someone has written 98% mortality. The surviving 2% have no quality of life. They generously added a skull and crossbones to get the point across. Apparently, this amoeba, it goes up your nose, travels through a natural gap in your skull, and then eats the neurons in your brain, causing symptoms such as a headache, vomiting, coma, drooping eyelids, seizures, hallucinations, loss of sense of taste, and death. So isn't that kind of fun? Well, despite all of that, when we were still there, we saw people doing dumb shit like this. It is a nude woman floating on her back inside of it.
Well, if she's on her back, it's not so bad. She just can't be on her stomach. You can't get it in the nose.
I feel like it's still go up the pussy.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it likes the nose, but
I don't know
nothing about it. It sounds horrifying. I've actually heard of those, you know, you hear about the brain worm, all that stuff every now and again.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's like the scariest shit
It was
ever.
Big in Georgia for a while. I remember that was like when in Atlanta, it was like the second season of Pretty Face. There were like messaging saying that there's cases of flesh eating bacteria in the
yes.
water.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, didn't have it out of my 2021 bingo card.
Oh, man. I got to play a new board game.
Yeah, probably.
So when I was about 6 years old, I moved into a house just outside of town with my mom, her new husband, and his son, which we lived in for about 3 years. Oh. It had an unfinished basement with vinyl wood floors and the typical 80s fake wood walls.
Hmm.
There was also a workbench rec room at the very back of the basement with a room and half bath attached to said room. This was my room. I rarely slept as a child, considering I was about 6 years old and I would wake up 4 or 5 times a night, become restless and be unable to fall back asleep. Mostly, I find myself falling asleep in the living room watching America's Most Wanted. Fuck yeah.
Oh, great.
My room was very bland, with a box frame and mattress lying on the floor, with a primer white walls and only a single window in the very top of one wall that was about 2 feet wide by 1 foot tall. I never liked this basement. I would have horrific nightmares, become anxious and upset if I was forced to stay down there, and slept only in my room about 6 times. So every time I was down there, I felt uncomfortable, like I was being watched. Upon entering the room, I would feel threatened, and I feel very cold. Being a kid, I thought nothing of it. Yet every time I went back upstairs, I would sprint as fast as I could up the steps, feeling like someone was reaching for me as I left. And there were times when I would leave my favorite stuffed animal on my pillow, and it would be on the floor across the room when I returned. But again, I thought nothing of it. Fast forward to 2018. I was 23, and I moved out west to live on my own and was back to visit family for a week. While attending a barbecue at my mom's house, we somehow got on the topic of creepy stuff that used to happen at the house and how much we disliked the basement as kids.
Ooh, this is a fun barbecue conversation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My brother turned to my mom after a short period and answered, "He doesn't know." My mom's face instantly turned white as she stared at him with wide eyes. I then inquired what he was talking about, and she looked at the ground, pulled me to the side along with my brother, and said, "I was never going to tell you this, and I hope I never had to. Before we moved into the house, there was another family living there.
Uh-oh.
A man, his kids, and his wife. Your stepdad never told me about this until after we saw you being uncomfortable down there. She then started to tell me about how a few years before we moved in there, there was a terrible storm. The father took both kids and his wife into the far back room in the basement, my room, to be safe from a possible tornado. He then proceeded to murder everybody.
Well, that seems like the tornado wasn't the problem.
And then he turned the gun on himself, looked like a more of a reason, and then he decided, hey, nice.
Isn't that the premise of, what is it, Jacob's Ladder?
No.
Is that
Well, Ronald DeFeo killed everybody during the thunderstorm, during the Amityville case.
Yes, I'm thinking of a movie where the fragility.
Frailty.
Yes! There we go.
That's fun.
Frailty,
sweet.
That's one, yes.
To this day, I still can't sleep well, and then have driven past that house once, but felt an extreme urge to get as far away from the property as I could.
Cool. Well, nowadays, branded as a haunted house, you're going to sell it for double.
And this is a guy you got to look out for.
Okay.
The Butt Bandit.
Oh,
we
no.
cover this. He's not. I mean, he's not around anymore. He might.
God.
I think he retired.
All right. I really hope he's done butt banditing or whatever. Whatever he describes himself as.
This came from our discussion of the butt crack bandits, right?
Yes.
And how that's a common term that reporters use.
I don't know what happened to my Instagram algorithm, but I got a bunch of, like, there was just this guy. So women would, like, bend over at a Walmart, right?
Yeah, sure.
And this guy would go up and smell their butt cracks, and then they would look at him and be like, what the fuck? Anyway, it was very bizarre. It's very strange out there. Be careful when you're bending over, I guess.
I mean, I feel like those might be staged.
Yes, I don't know.
They might be staged.
Some
if
of that stuff
on
is
Instagram,
very staged. Yeah, some of that
then
stuff
it might
is
be
really
staged because then they go and they really sniff in there and that's just everybody's working. I mean, it's a job. But here we go. This is a local legend from a nearby town. This guy got the nickname the quote unquote butt bandit. The name is a misnomer. The name is a misnomer because he didn't actually steal anything, but rather he would rub his whole ass with Vaseline and then press it against storefront windows around town. The best ass prints were the ones where he could lean a bit too far forward and leave a turkey neck, aka gooch, balls, sometimes a little bit of dong smear.
Oh my.
It isn't in the story, but the cops eventually started walking around, started waiting around through the night and caught him red-handed and all Vaselined up.
Oh.
He was apparently mostly active during the spring and summer. It stopped when it got cold.
Oh, naturally, yeah. Makes sense.
I guess when you could put your ass on a bare plate glass when it's 10 degrees out, it's not very pleasant.
You know, it's honestly, we talked about people
Tom
taking...
Tom Larvey was the man named, 35
Tom
years
Larvey.
Young. Yeah, Tom Larvey.
The 35, wow. We talked about people taking dumps on slides and taking public shits. This is actually, as far as it goes, you just got to, you know, squeegee it off, I guess.
It's vaguely innocent. It seems to be closer to art.
Closer.
Do you remember Penis Man?
Which one?
The one in New Mexico. The other one that was like, you know, Penis Man won't die, I believe that was the term. Let me look
this
up.
Penis Man won't die. Did he rub his penis on stuff?
No, he wrote the word Penis Man everywhere.
Oh, yes. Now I remember this story. Of course.
I'm trying to see if I can find it. I believe this came. Yeah, Penis Man. Maybe I'm correct. Maybe I'm incorrect. Wait, let me make sure I know this. Penis Man.
Yes.
Yeah, Penis Man, about how Penis Man won't die. And
but
he
that
keeps
was
going
just
forever,
tagging.
Forever in the future. It was. Yeah, it was art.
It was art. But now this guy actually used his booty.
Yeah,
all
but
right.
I guess we haven't heard anything from Tom. I'm trying to see if I found anything else from Tom Larvey. So Tom Larvey, I want to say
he might be a one-hit wonder.
You know, when it comes down to it, it's so hard to come up, especially if you had that fucking, that big old hit album.
Well, we did find out.
13 months in jail.
Allison Mack got 3 years.
3 years.
He got 13 months in jail for
putting his Vaseline butt on things. She
but he
branded
didn't even
do
it when people were there. It sounds like he did it at night.
Sex cult leader.
All right.
She got 3 years.
Okay, well, be careful with the butt bandit, the male butt. Often penalized.
But guess what? If you take in your ass, this is what you have to love about art. I'm going to do it this way. If you have to love, the thing I love about art is that if you covered your ass in paint, your dick and your balls or your pussy hole or whatever it is you have, right? You've covered that paint, put that on a canvas. You got a love for effect. You have love for art and shows.
Yeah.
And then you can laugh your way
all
the way to the bank, knowing for a fact that you made art just using your body and how easy it was because it was right there for you. The tools are right there. The expression that you've searched for was always there. But if you just randomly put your ass all full of paint out there in the world, you have to live with the fact that you're now a pervert.
Well,
and I find that, oh, what's the blinds here? What are we doing here?
I love this sort of like art for people in solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Your butt is the art.
You are the artist if you have a butt.
That's great. Well, everyone listening is artistic in their own ways, whether it be business, whether it be art, Etsy, creation.
Yes.
There's a lot of different types of art out
there. There really is. It's almost an infinite amount.
Almost infinite. Almost infinite. The only thing that does not have, you know, I'm going to say bailiff. There's really very little art to being a bailiff.
There's very little art to
very
being
little
a
art.
Court cop. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening.
So, we are ready to announce that we have dates on our Patreon.
Woo!
If you are a Patreon member, you get to see the first load.
Dude,
the first drippy load of dates. It's coming out. The presale is today. Wednesday on Patreon. It's coming to you. Get those goddamn tickets. We're coming to see your fucking asses.
It is a big load.
I want to get you.
Yeah, we have about, I think, dang near 50 shows. So we are going to be busy, boys.
We're going to come get you.
But we can't wait.
I can't wait to bite you.
Okay.
I'm going to be a real Army Hammer about our dates.
All right. We are really excited to see everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magoo's delations, everybody.
See you in the hotels of America.
Absolutely. Lock your doors.
Yep. Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.